If you need any more evidence that following Jesus is a little bit more challenging sometimes than any of us can imagine, all you need to do is look at the disciples this morning. In today's gospel, the disciples seem a little dense. First, in last week's gospel, Peter says too much. And now, in today's gospel, not once but twice, all of the disciples are unable to utter one word between them because they have absolutely no idea what Jesus is talking about. On the one hand, they don't want to make Peter's mistake and to put their foot in their mouths. But on the other hand, they don't really know what to say when Jesus explains to them first that he must be handed over, die, and on the third day rise again, and then later that those who would be first must be servant of all. They don't understand it, and they're afraid to ask Jesus. In today's gospel, the disciples sort of remind me of the movie The Sandlot. You see, in The Sandlot, the main character, Scotty Smalls, is desperate to fit in, having just moved to town. And so, every time throughout the film, anyone mentions the great Bambino, Scotty pretends to know exactly what they're talking about. But really, he has no idea who the great Bambino is, or for that matter, the Sultan of Swat, or the Colossus of Clout. It isn't until his stepfather's baseball, signed by Babe Ruth, goes over the fence and into the yard of the dog known only as the Beast, that he realizes his mistake, that Babe Ruth and the great Bambino are one in the same. And by then, it's far too late. Not only are the disciples unable to admit that they are befuddled by Jesus' plain words, but they compound their misunderstanding of Jesus by arguing about who is the best and the brightest among them. The disciples are desperate to prove to Jesus that they have it all together, that they are right with him, when really they aren't. But they want to convince Jesus that he is lucky to have them. Before my parents got divorced, when I was very small, going to church was a little bit painful. I was woken up very early in the morning. I was scrubbed, fluffed, and wrapped up in clothes with lots of buttons that were not very comfortable. And then I was made to sit in a hard wooden pew for a whole hour. And my mother, who was similarly primped and polished, would brook no shenanigans in the third row from the front on the epistle side, which I notice is empty right now. When I made noise or squirmed, my mother would look down and hiss, "You are embarrassing me," as some old lady three rows back glowered at the both of us. Sometimes we come to church not to worship God, to give thanks, or even to cry out for help or solace. Sometimes we come to church to show God how lucky he is to have us. We want to show God that we have it together, that we can take care of ourselves, that we're doing fine, thank you very much. We certainly don't want to be the type of people in need of a Savior. But we are those people. As James reminds his community, we are most certainly, all of us, in need of a Savior. We cannot see to our own needs because when we do it badly, very badly. Rather, James urges his community and us, we are to let God do what God does best. Shortly after my parents separated, my mother once again woke me up for church. "Why?" I whined, dreading the scrubbing and the buttons and the shushing. "Because," my mother replied, "we need God to hold us up today.
We humans are not so horribly useful, but the fact is we are deeply loved. We worship a God who can cure any illness, forgive any sin, and likes to elongate joyous occasions by turning water into wine. There is nothing that we could do for God that he cannot do for himself. But God loves us without fail. In spite of all evidence that he could make a better investment of his energy, in the teeth of our feeble attempts at times to wrest our own security from the world rather than relying on God, in spite of the fact that too often we assume when we feel secure that we ourselves are the sole reason for that security, throughout it all, God continues to give us what we need, what is best for us, even as a mother makes her ungrateful child eat vegetables to gain nutrition. There was a space of about 2 weeks when my brother tried to fast from vegetables. And that's what he called it, fasting from vegetables. He tried to simply refuse to eat them. The first night, when my brother refused to eat some asparagus that was on his plate, my father, at first, said nothing. At the end of dinner, he turned to my brother and said, "These vegetables are important for your health, and that is why I want you to eat them. Everyone else is going to clear off their plates and go about their business, but you and I are going to sit here for a while longer." So I took my plate to the sink and then went off about my business. Apparently, 40 minutes is about the time where the desire to leave the table eclipses the disgust that my brother has for his asparagus. Because after 40 minutes, he finally took 2 bites and was allowed to get up from the table. And this scene was repeated night after night. Broccoli, peas, green beans, spinach, all of it. He tried to get out of it, and my father just sat there implacably waiting until he took a few bites. The only thing that changed was that the time that my brother and my father spent at the table began to shrink little by little by little. And then 2 weeks later, on a Sunday evening, without quite noticing it, my brother just ate most of his vegetables during dinner. And when my father saw it, he didn't say anything. He just smiled. The children we are baptizing today at this service and at the 11:15 are a reminder to us of Jesus' lesson to the disciples in today's gospel. These children cannot do it themselves. They can't even get to the font themselves, but must be carried. In the end, it is God in Jesus who saves us, who snatches us from the jaws of death and welcomes us into a new and glorious kingdom. We cannot do this, and we cannot even help God in doing it. All we can do is draw near through the font and the altar, through the sacraments, draw near to God, who is always drawing near to us. Amen.